When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich laird.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. The doors started to appear randomly. Different sizes, different shapes. It was like walking through a gallery that was tempting me to stop and consider what would happen if I was to open one. When the little red door appeared in the back of my medicine cabinet, I couldn't resist. I knocked. I'm not rude, after all. The door was opened by the most elegant snail I have ever seen. His shell shone. He had a little flat cap on his head, and his eye stalks wiggled at me curiously. "Good evening," I said. "What is your door doing in my medicine cabinet?"
"What is your cabinet doing on my front doorstep?"
I couldn't answer that question. The only teller for this episode is Morgan Reynolds. She's a storyteller, speaker, reader, workshop leader, poet, novelist, and a generally joyful wordsmith. She leads storytelling workshops all over the beautiful state of Montana and has been a keynote speaker at conferences, camps, and retreats. She has a number of videos on YouTube, so you can go find more of her storytelling there. And she has a podcast with even more stories called Stories with Mo. In this episode, she is telling the story, Two Friends and a Dragon.
Shh. Now her mother was a witch, and his father was a knight. And together, they were great friends. In fact, she was his only friend, and he was her only friend. Now why? They lived in a very small village in the mountains, and the town was afraid of her because she was half witch. But he was half knight. I mean, knights are awesome, right? Not his dad. His dad was lazy, a little bit cowardly, and had been known to steal from other knights. He was very unknightly. And so they thought he would be just like him. And nobody would play with either of them when they were little, or invite them over for dinner. And so they lived on the outskirts of town and only had each other. And really, that was okay with them. Since she had a little bit of witch inside, she could do some really cool things. She seemed to be able to talk to animals and understand them. And she could use berries and leaves and twigs and branches and blend them up together to make the most interesting potions. And there was one that was especially interesting. It was in a small pink crystal bottle. And if you put one drop on each eyelid, then you could see things that no one else could see. And so she lived happily in the woods, making her potions, playing her harp, and being friends with the animals. And, of course, the young man. But the young man was a little bit restless, because he wanted to be a knight, a good knight, not a knight like his father had been. But no knight in the village or any of the surrounding villages would take him on as a squire. And you had to be a squire before you could become a knight. But they had all heard about his father, and no one was letting them anywhere near their armor. So he knew that in order to become the kind of knight he wanted to be, he was going to have to travel far, far, far away. It wasn't hard for him to say goodbye to the village, but it was hard for him to say goodbye to his one dear friend. Well, the day of his departure came, and of course no one in the village was there to say goodbye. No one even knew he was leaving. But there she was. She hugged him and she kissed him on both cheeks, and then she brought out the crystal bottle with the potion. She had tied a beautiful ribbon around it, and she hung it from his neck. And she told him, "You never know when this might come in handy for a night." He hugged her back, and he kissed her on each cheek, and they promised to write, and off he rode. And right they did. They both kept their promise. They wrote each week, and she told him about potions she was discovering and what the animals were doing, and he told her that he had found a knight that took him on as a squire. And he told her about all the things he was learning and the weapons he was learning to take care of and the fights he was learning to win. And he was moving up the ranks. And she got the letter that he had become a knight. And she was growing to be a beautiful young woman, and he was growing to be a strong knight. And still they wrote back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes he was homesick, but not often. For he was off having amazing knightly adventures, fighting dragons, saving princesses, being honest and brave and true. Well, one day, he got a letter from his friend, and he packed his bags and got on his horse and headed home. Because the letter simply said this, "Dear friend, we need your help. Come home." And so he did. Now, what kind of help do you think they needed? I'll tell you. You see, for a town that was so afraid of magic, there was some magic that they were just fine using. In fact, they had their own magic. Just north of the town in the mountains, there was a small lake there, and not just any lake. As you got closer to the lake, you could hear it singing. Now, you've never been near a lake that sang, I bet. And that wasn't the only cool thing this lake did. You see, shepherds who had been working hard all day and were achy and tired could go and dip just one sore foot into that water. Oh, and they felt 5 years younger, and their muscles were new and strong again, and they skipped away. Or milkmaids who had been nursing a cough for weeks could go and just dip their pinky finger in the lake. And the cough was gone. I'd like some of that magical water right now. Now, everyone was welcome to come to the lake. The village was happy to share. There were only two rules. Rule number one, you don't swim in the lake. That would be disgusting. And rule number two, you shared the lake with anyone who wanted to make the trip. And the town, the village, and all the other surrounding villages got along quite well because the village closest to the lake liked the business that the tourists would bring. But the reason that our friend wrote her letter was because something had changed. The lake had stopped singing because someone had broken the rules. And that someone was enormous, huge, and green, and scaly, with big yellow eyes and enormous wings, and his breath, whew, was it fiery. You know what I'm talking about? It was a dragon. You're right. I knew you'd guess that. And so this dragon, a very, very old, cranky dragon, had heard about the lake and had come and nipped his stinky, scaly feet. And, oh, he was 100 years younger. His teeth that were yellow were suddenly white and sharp again. His eyes were clear. His scales were sparkling. Oh, yeah. He felt good. So he lifted up and flew away. And as soon as he left the water, his teeth were yellow. His scales were dull. His eyes were cloudy. Oh, no. Back in the water. Oh, sparkly, clean, bright. Left the water. Oh, old, scaly, gray. There's only one thing the dragon thought he could do. Plopped himself right down in the lake. Rule number one, broken, and laid in the lake. And when someone an old shepherd with rheumatoid arthritis in both knees, came up to try to dip that bum leg into the water. Roar! That shepherd was burned to a crisp. That dragon was not sharing the lake. He broke rule number two. And that's why our friend wrote her letter. Now, many, many knights had come to try to defeat the dragon, because that's what knights do. And many, many knights had failed, because this dragon had one very special trick. The knight would get closer, and then the dragon, poof, would go invisible. And then the knight just had to guess which direction the dragon was in. And by the time he felt the heat that told him the point of where the dragon was, it was too late. And so every knight had either run away or gotten fried to a crisp, one by one. But our friend, the knight, had something that none of those other knights had. Do you remember what it is? I hope you didn't say Cheetos, because they're not even in the story. No, he had the crystal bottle, the potion that helped him see what others could not. And so he was on his horse and he came riding down towards the village. He first stopped, of course, where he knew his friend was. And they hugged and they hugged and they kissed each other on both cheeks. Blah, blah, we're so happy to see you. Welcome back. And he told her, he asked her, what can I do? And she told him about the dragon and the lake. And he said, I can help. He rode into the village and all they saw was a knight on a horse. And he rode into the village and the ladies all, oh, he's so handsome. And all the men, oh, wonder if his muscles are bigger than my muscles. And all the children danced around the horse and they cheered and they clapped and they clapped and they cheered. And then he got off his horse and they saw that the woman, the half-witch, was sitting behind him on his horse. And suddenly they put two and two together. They knew who she was. They knew who he was. Hey! You're no knight. And all the women went, ugh, I never thought he was handsome anyway. And all the men, yeah, my muscles are definitely bigger than his. And the children stopped dancing. And the villagers all at the same time folded their arms. What do you want? The knight smiled. He wasn't surprised. I'm here to help. I heard you have a dragon problem, and I'm a knight. And they laughed. We've had so many knights come and go. What makes you think you can kill the dragon? And he put his hand on his chest, where the pink crystal bottle was hiding under his shirt. And he said, oh, I have a few ideas. Fine.
Today's fairy tale sponsor is Humpty's Egg Repair. Cooks know you need to break eggs to make an omelet, but what about when you need the eggs to stay whole? If you have an accidental crack in an egg that needs to be repaired, go to Humpty's Egg Repair. The very character who fell off a wall could not be helped by all the king's men, so Humpty put himself back together again and went into business. If your latest brood has a few shells, don't worry. Humpty will put it back together again. Humpty's Egg Repair. Wherever there's a crack, he'll be there. This episode is also brought to you by the new Seven League Boot Patreon supporters, Juniper, Ione, and Jessamine. Juniper has the unique gift of making any shoes like the magical ruby slippers from Oz. She could be wearing boots, slippers, or tap shoes, and with a click, 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 she's anywhere she wants to be. Ione has the unique gift of being able to play music on invisible instruments. She moves her fingers and you can hear pianos playing with a strum of her fingers and guitar sounds filling the air. Jessamine has the unique gift of being the possessor of the silver net of sleep. I hear it's a family heirloom, and when it's nighttime, she throws the silver net over the bed and the sweetest of dreams in sleep are given to those drifting off. Juniper, Ione, and Jessamine are also generous supporters of storytelling, which is pretty cool. A thank you to them and all the other patrons of the podcast. Consider becoming a supporter. The 7 League boot level gets all of the perks offered from the podcast. You get a postcard from the podcast, an extra episode every month, 10% off at the Story Story Boutique. There's a hangout every month. There's a storybook club, and you'll get a gently loved book every quarter. And a box of wonder. Once a year, this box of wonder will arrive on your doorstep, and who knows what might be within. After that, I tried to ignore the doors that were appearing. The door in the tree, painted like a cloud, the square one painted blue, the round one that was a shocking color of pink. But then came that door. I couldn't resist, and mostly because it was half open. It was only 3 feet tall, and there was a lovely sound of jazz coming out. I peeked in and saw what I suppose was an underground club from another world. The occupants ranged from fuzzy and small to translucent and made mostly of bubbles. The music, though. I was spellbound and I almost crawled in when a rather stout badger blocked my way.
"Do you have a password?"
"I'm afraid I don't." He turned to close the door. Could you leave it open? Just a crack. I suppose my earnest tone was enough. The badger wiggled his nose and left the door open just wide enough for the music to escape. And now back to Morgan Reynolds telling Two Friends and a Dragon.
Well, they had the tradition of feeding the knight that came to try to fight the dragon and putting him in a nice little inn. And so they did the same thing for this knight. But he didn't get the best food, and they gave him the lumpiest bed. But still, he woke up in the morning, ready to go fight the dragon. A few members of the town came and waved him goodbye and wished him good luck. But his friend was there waiting for him at the edge of town. And she hugged him, and she kissed him on each cheek, and she whispered, "Good luck. I believe in you." And off he went. Now, he was as quiet because he knew that the dragon would fight as soon as he woke up. And so he was like a cat. But no matter how careful he was, his foot snapped a twig. And so the dragon opened his eyes. Poof! Disappeared. The knight quickly took out his potion. Boom! Boom! And there he could see it. The knight, the dragon, was crawling towards him, not knowing that the knight could see him. He roared, "Roar!" And the knight spun out of the way, and he stabbed the dragon. The dragon howled, and he swiped. And then the knight rolled the other way, and he stabbed the dragon again. Meow! And over, the knight rolled and spun and stabbed and slashed and stabbed and stabbed and slashed. And but the dragon just didn't seem to be getting hurt. He didn't seem to be getting weaker or more tired. In fact, he seemed stronger than ever, no matter how many times he stabbed and slashed and slashed and stabbed. The dragon was getting stronger, but the knight was getting beaten over and over and was getting tired. And so he retreated, and the dragon didn't follow. The knight was bruised and broken, but fairly safe. He got back on his horse, and he rode down into the village. His friend was waiting there for him on the outskirts of the village. He got down. She hugged him. She kissed him on each cheek, and he told her everything that happened. The villagers were all waiting. They saw him coming. They saw him bruised and broken, but he was alive. And so they asked him, "Did you kill him? Did you kill him? Is the dragon dead?" "No. No, he's not." "We knew you couldn't do it," the villagers said. But the knight raised his hand and he said, "Listen to me. I will go and fight that dragon again tomorrow. And one of us will survive. If you see me tomorrow, you will know the dragon has died. I will not come back until it is done." "Okay," they all said. They gave him the lumpy bed again. They gave him some leftover soup from the night before. And in the morning, no one was there. Not even his friend. He knew the villagers wouldn't come, but he was surprised that she wasn't there. He waited, looked around, and he thought to himself, maybe she doesn't think I can do this either. Maybe she thinks I'm going to die and doesn't want to say goodbye. But either way, he was a good knight and a brave man, and he had to keep his word. So he got on his horse and he rode towards the lake. This time he was even more careful. He was like a cat, prowling, silent. And he got closer, but this time he swung to the left so he could get a better idea of how to attack the dragon differently this time. That's when he noticed it. The dragon snoring on the side of the lake, his long, spiny tail was dipped into the lake. And the knight thought back to the fight from the day before. And he thought and remembered how the dragon hadn't followed him when he retreated. And he realized the dragon had never left the lake. As long as his tail was dipped in that water, no matter how many times that knight stabbed or slashed or slashed or stabbed or skewered, the dragon would be fine. He had to get him out of that lake. But how? Luckily, he was a very clever knight. And so he slowly crept round to the other side of the dragon, just far enough out where the dragon couldn't reach him unless he left the lake. He put his potion on, just in case. He didn't have glasses, so he could do it right on the eyeball. And he waited. And then he took his sword in one hand and his shield in the other. Clang, 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 clang! Hey! Slimy breath, pimple face, stinky eye, dragon, wake up! The dragon's eyes opened. And actually, the knight didn't even need the potion. The dragon didn't even bother going invisible. He just roared, roar, and started toward the knight. The knight took a step back. Hey, slimy face, skunk breath, come and get me, stinky, stinky. The dragon started to move forward, but looked back at his tail. He crept just a little more forward, but the tip of his tail was still in the water, and the knight knew he had to go big or go home. So, he said, hey, dragon, do you like my new boots? Yeah, they're dragon skin. They're kind of wimpy, though. Your mama doesn't make very good boots, if you know what I mean. Oh, no. That knight had crossed the line talking about that dragon's mother. It was too much. He leapt out of the lake and started charging towards the knight. The knight was ready for him. He pulled out his sword, and he could see this soft spot on the dragon's neck right there. And the knight waited with his sword pulled back, that spot right on the dragon's neck. That's where he'd get him. And he waited, and the dragon was galloping. And the knight was ready with the sword, and suddenly the dragon stopped. And the knight and the dragon heard music. It was beautiful. And then I looked around to see, but he couldn't see where it was coming from, but the dragon. The night suddenly didn't matter at all. The dragon veered this direction and started walking in the direction of the music, sort of walking and dancing and smiling. Well, this was the knight's chance. He ran up to the other side of the dragon. He could still see the soft spot on the throat, that one place that just one sword thrust would end the dragon. He got in position, and that's when he saw her. It was his friend. and the music was coming from her. And she was playing her harp. Da 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 da. And he looked at the dragon, and he looked at her. And she stopped playing just long enough to raise one finger to her lips and shake her head. And then she kept playing. And the knight lowered his sword and watched. And the dragon kept walking and rocking from side to side. And as he did, his teeth grew yellow and dull again. His eyes clouded over. His scales were ashy and gray. And he seemed to limp and hobble as he got closer and closer to her friend. But still he was smiling, and still she was playing. La da dum da dum dum da 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 la da dum da. And he rocked back and forth until he was right there, and she could feel the heat from his breath. And he knelt down in front of her, and he crossed one leg in front of the other, and he put his chin on his hands, and he let out one last sigh, and he was gone. And then a gust of wind came, and the dragon turned to dust and blew away. The knight walked over to his friend and had no words. He just kept shaking his head, looking at where the dragon had been, and looking at her, and looking back at where the dragon had been. And she just smiled, and she said that dragon was so old and so tired and so sad. He just needed to go to sleep, and he needed some help to get there. And in the background, they could just barely hear, the lake was singing again. He still had no words, the knight. He put out his hand, and she took his hand, and they walked back to his horse. He got on and lifted her on behind him, and they rode back down towards the village. The villagers were all waiting, anxiously waiting. And when they saw him coming down, they remembered his promise and knew that he must have done it. And they cheered. And the women said, oh, I told you, he's always been so handsome. And the men, oh, yeah, his muscles are definitely bigger than mine. And the children danced and played, and they all got around, and they cheered and they cheered and they threw confetti. You did it, they said. You freed us from the dragon. And then he said, no, I'm not the one who did. And he got down so they could see her. He held out his hand and took the harp from her so she could light off the horse. And he said, she is the one who slew the dragon. She is your hero. And the village suddenly realized they had really miscalculated. They had been very wrong about both of these wonderful young people. And they said so. They all apologized. And they begged the young man and the young woman to stay with them in the village and be their leaders. And they built beautiful wooden thrones, these gorgeous wooden chairs, for the young man and the young woman to sit on side by side. And every day people would come and share their problems and get advice, and any disputations in the village would come before our friends in their beautiful wooden chairs. And in front of the wooden chairs was a beautiful glass box. And inside the glass box were two objects. Do you think you can guess what the objects were? Two of them. One of them, I'm hoping you guessed, was the pink crystal bottle. Did you guess that one? Good job. And next to the pink crystal bottle was a cheeseburger? No, not a cheeseburger. It was the harp. It was the harp that she played for the dragon. And in front of the pink crystal bottle and the harp was a little plaque. And the plaque read, "May you always be able to see what others cannot and have the courage to sing to your enemies."
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show the love. Find Morgan Reynolds at moreynolds.com. Tell her you heard her on the podcast and now want to hear her tell more stories. You do know, though, you can go hear her tell more stories right away at her podcast, Stories with Mo. We are in strange times for performing artists, but art is needed now more than ever. Go find your favorite storytellers from the podcast and discover what they can bring to your home. Did you know you can connect with the podcast on Facebook or Instagram at Story Story Podcast or me at Rachel Ann Harding? You can see the fairy tale sponsor ads on the Story Story Podcast Instagram and Facebook page. While you're there, let me know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon. The beautiful brains behind the fairy tale sponsor was Marcus If. The inspiration for the true fairy tale was from Laura Packer. The music is by Poddington Bear. This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. Consider becoming a patron or joining the mailing list to get podcast goodies or writing a review on Apple Podcasts, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the show. You will hear more stories next week, but until then, live happily ever after.
Mary Kate opened up the door, and there on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal castle.